Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Game unbeaten as Charlton's impressive start to life back in the Championship continues, although it took an ice-cool penalty from Lyle Taylor in the last minute to grab a share of the spoils at Barnsley. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening, welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendez. We're going to be looking back at the 2-2 draw with Barnsley on this evening's show. Joining me here in the studio to do just that, on my right-hand side, is Mr. Lewis Catt. Hey, doing Lewis?
Yeah, good mate, how are you?
Yeah, good. Have you had a good weekend?
Yeah, very good. Yeah, still unbeaten.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, your weekend's unbeaten as well, is it?
My weekend's always unbeaten.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, and exactly. Joining us here also in his pink Real Madrid shirt, famously, is Tom Wallion. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
Yeah, how's your weekend been?
All right, I was in Wales yesterday watching the rugby.
What was the score? Can we mock you?
No, Wales won. Oh. And they're now the best team in the world.
It's a completely irrelevant sport, so I don't know why you wasted your time. But good to have you here in the studio. And also joining me on my left-hand side, a newbie in the show, in the studio, Mr. Benji Cloak, one of my oldest friends. Benji, good evening. How are you?
Yes, good evening. Very good, thank you, Louis.
Yeah, you were there at the game yesterday up at Barnsley and you got back in one piece.
Got back in one piece, thank you very much.
Yeah, did you enjoy it? Do you think a worthy point for the Addicts in the end?
Yeah, I'd say similar to Stoke. It could have gone either way, but definitely happy with a last-minute penalty.
So. Excellent stuff. So on tonight's show, we will look back at that game, that 2-2 draw up at Barnsley. We're going to hear the commentary highlights, and I promise you, they're crystal clear. You're going to hear those in a second. It's the right game, I promise. We're also going to hear the full post-match interview from Lee Bowyer as well. So just before we do that, so Ben, do you think we deserved a point? It's one of those ones that it's hard to say, really, for certain if we... I mean, because I feel like we could have won it, but at the same time, obviously, Barnsley had a couple of decent chances as well, and we ended up equalising quite late on. So, was a point the fair result? Do you think we could have got more?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think it's quite similar to the Stoke game, where we were clinical in a Stoke game, and I think you look at yesterday, we had two really great early chances from Pirrington, and Cullen. And then they just scored an absolute screamer to take the lead. So that was quite obviously clinical. And then in the second half, funny enough, we started really well, didn't we? First 5 minutes, we were all over them. Then they went down the other end, scored. And then it took us a while to get our mojo going and try and create anything again. And yeah, and then we pop up at the last minute to get that penalty. And you're kind of just more relieved than anything to think, actually, maybe we could have won it. But apart from that in the second half, I think Aniki had that great chance, which we spoke about earlier. Should have maybe shot first time or squared it for Lyle. So, yeah, I guess more because of the way the goal came about at the end, more relieved that we got the point. But, yeah, looking at chances overall, maybe we could have nicked it because I think our chances were better. I can't think of when Dylan was really challenged to make a save.
It's another funny one, isn't it? I mean, the defending, for Barnsley's second goal would leave a few questions, but the way that they took the lead was unstoppable. But, yeah, we'll talk about the game more in detail. Just, Tom, just in terms of the actual start then, you know, we're three games in, we're still unbeaten. We're effectively joint top of the table. We were top at one point yesterday. I mean, you really couldn't have expected this start at all 3 weeks ago.
No, I definitely didn't predict it. Trying not to get too carried away, but
we can't get the 138 anyway. Points anymore, sadly.
No, so that was obviously gutting. I just think back and I'm wary of the season where we beat QPR and Hull in the first couple of weeks, then drew, didn't we, away at Forest and Derby, and then got relegated. So, yeah, look, Boya says it himself, so I'm not trying to bring the mood down. We know we're probably not going to be up there for the whole season, but whilst we are, we've just got to enjoy it. And the truth is, we are playing some nice stuff and we are competing with these sides, and we don't know where any of us are going to end up at the end of the season, but we can only play the teams that we've played so far, and I think we've looked okay against them. And the more games that go on, the more we compete against those oppositions, it makes you think, well, maybe we're not going to be quite as bad as some people have made out pre-season. So, yeah, I'm quietly confident, but as I say, and Boya said it after the game, there's still a hell of a long way to go.
There was 5 minutes of added time at the end of the second half there, Lewis. 4.5 minutes of that was because of Lyle Taylor's run-up to that penalty. I mean, you've got to have some... I mean, we know he does it every time now, and he hasn't missed since he's done it, but that sort of pressure penalty, to do that, to still have the confidence to do that, I mean, it's just incredible, isn't it?
It is, and especially really when it was pretty much one of the last kicks of the game. You know, it takes some serious minerals to do that, but we all know Lyle Taylor believes in himself, and as long as he keeps scoring, I'm not going to complain. I think I saw, you'll probably hear in a minute from Boya anyway, but he said that he probably didn't fancy Lyle to score it yesterday after the last couple of weeks he's had, but proved him wrong. It was a great penalty. And we'll take the point. Barnsley got a very impressive home record, so I'd have bitten the hand off at a point at the start of the game anyway. So overall happy.
Right, let's have a listen to the commentary highlights. Then it was a bit of a one off yesterday. The BBC London feed was being shared with Valley Pass, so I prop up in this. So it's myself, and alongside me is Jamie Boxall.
Down the line, looking for Lyle Taylor. Taylor will play it back to Solly, looking to build their first attack here. Cullen now over to the right-hand side, and Taylor again digs across that towards the near post, and it's going to fall for Purrington! Oh, how has he missed? Oh, Ben Purrington on that far side. He had to score for the Addicts, but he's dragged it wide.
Ben Purrington at that back post again. He's always cropping up in that area these days, and this time he couldn't quite steer it into the back of the net like he has done a few times for Charlton.
To Williams now, trying on the attack. Williams drives towards the near post. It's well cut out by the goalkeeper Samuel Radiger in the end and lifted up towards the halfway line. Well, Lyle Taylor try and break away from Diaby. Taylor might be able to bundle through and goal here. Their foot comes in, but it's going to be picked up on this right hand side by Lecco in line with the edge of the penalty area as Charlton launch another attack here. Lecco drives his way into the box, pulls it back to Josh Cullen. Oh, and it's blocked near the goal line. Side footed effort from Josh Cullen, but an excellent clearance.
Wow, that was another great bit of threatening play by Lecco.
Now we'll take the corner in. It comes towards the edge of the 6 yard box. Oh, and I'll tell you what, Darren Prattley came so close to scoring an own goal there. He headed it towards his own goal and it somehow deflected over the bar. What a let off for Darren.
Wow, yeah, that was so close. I thought it might have rattled the underside of the bar there, but actually I think it just bobbled over off of Darren Prattley.
Well, I've never seen that before. He almost looked like he directed it towards his goal. I think it hit Lyle Taylor on the goal. Barnsley now have it on the left-hand side with Williams. Ben Williams has been busy for the Tykes in this first half. He's running up towards the edge of the area, dinks across out towards that far post. It's over the head, not cleared very well by Purrington. Picked up again on the edge of the area, driven towards goal. Well blocked. Comes out, falling towards goal, and that's a brilliant strike Barnsley take the lead. Corley Woodrow with an unbelievable effort into the top corner, and it's Barnsley 1, Charlton Athletic 0.
Yeah, there's not a lot you can do about that. That was an absolutely stupendous sort of half volley there into the top left hand corner. Originally though, Ben Purrington probably should have done better with the clearance, and it fell to the Barnsley player. They had a second chance and a brilliant finish.
There we go, Corley Woodrow, the 24-year-old, scores for Barnsley. He got 19 last season for the Tykes. That's his first of the campaign this year. It was a brilliant strike. Right-footed, punted, didn't get too much distance on that, and it's going to be headed by Gallagher inside his own half. In the end, it works out that Cullen will pick it up and try to roll it into the channel for Lecco now. Back to goal inside the Barnsley half, gives it to Cullen. Long ball over the top for Williams. He's in behind on this right-hand side. Lyle Taylor and Jonathan Lecco trying to join him. Gets towards the byline. Low cross across the face of goal. Comes to Gallagher, and he scores! No. And Conor Gallagher, with his second Alex goal, makes it Barnsley 1, Charlton 1. And the Alex fans to our left-hand side are in raptures, Jamie Boxall.
And I was just saying a little bit, maybe 5 minutes ago, that Gallagher was a bit quiet, and there he is popping up in the same sort of area that he tapped in that corner, that well-worked corner last week. It was a nice little pocket of space that he picked up and just stuck that ball home. Really good.
Excellent work by Johnny Williams on this right hand side. He got to that byline, fizzed in across. Conor Gallagher, he had to do well to control it, but he's shown that predatory instinct that we saw last week as well. Gets his second goal in two games, and Charlton a level over to that right hand side. Perrington, who's guilty of a bad miss, misses the header there as well, but it goes behind, and it doesn't matter because the halftime whistle has been blown here. Gallagher steps back in and wins it for the Addicts. Can he keep possession? Runs into a little bit of traffic there, and Barnsley will look to mount an attack of their own now. Play towards the edge of the penalty area, slip through into the box here. Barnsley covering challenge, comes back, but he shoots and he scores, and it's 2-1 to Barnsley. Conor Chaplin puts the home side back into the lead. 2.5 minutes into the second period, it's Barnsley 2, Charlton 1.
Yeah, against the run of play as well there, because for the first 2-3 minutes of this off, it was all Charlton. We were looking so threatening, and that was brilliant composure there from the Barnsley player that stuck there in the back of the net, and he just waited for the perfect moment to release the shot and sold the defender and the keeper, and it's 2-1 to Barnsley. Dylan Phillips is furious there, by the way, with his defenders.
First start this afternoon for Barnsley for Conor Chaplin since his summer move from Coventry City, and he gets his first goal as well for the Tykes. It was excellent work once he got the ball inside the area, but Dylan Phillips was furious. I think he felt perhaps Dejoshi Larju had come across, might have dealt slightly better with that, but it had been a bright start to this. So the header is missed, and Barnsley have a chance here again into the penalty area. It's Conor Chaplin strikes it towards goal, and it's just wide of the near post. I think it was Jason Pearce who came out to try and win the header. He didn't get there, and it worked its way to Chaplin. He pulled it onto his left foot, and in the end his shot was just a slash wider than here. Gallagher gets a foot onto it, and then it'll be excellently played over to the left hand side by Pearce. Taylor now in line with the edge of the penalty area for the Addicts, drives towards goal. Oh, it swerved and the keeper just about kept it out. Still alive inside the penalty area, and eventually a free kick is given to Barnsley. Lyle Taylor, the angled drive from the corner of the penalty box, it was swerving all over the place, but Radlinger just about had enough behind it to keep it Barnsley 2 keep it alive and play it over to that right hand side. And Oshilaja in line with the edge of the area, it goes to Gallagher, back to Cullen again as the Addicts search for an equaliser. Forward to Anike inside the penalty area. Oh, the keeper makes the save. It was a brilliant touch from Johnny Williams. He unleashed Chucks Anike, but the keeper was off his line, and it's a save, and it's gone behind for an Addicts corner. The ball out for Chucks Anike, does really well to bring it down on his chest on that far side in line with the penalty area. Chucks Anike's just run out of steam a little bit there. Can he keep the ball alive? He can, over by the corner flag. Oshilaja just battling away, wins a charm throw, throws it quickly into the box, and Anike inside to Gallagher. Can he get a second? It comes to Lyle Taylor, and it's a penalty for Charlton. Oh, I didn't see what happened. It was off the ball. Conor Gallagher went down, and the Addicts have a penalty kick. Diabe, the guilty Carty. Can Charlton get level within the final 2 minutes here?
And I know I did say earlier that Macaulay Bond should be the man to step up, but how can I forget the man Lyle Taylor, who's got the ball in his hand right now? It looks like it will be Lyle Taylor who is going to step up and take this.
Well, I was following the ball there, so it was brilliantly well played. Yep. And we're going to go live to BBC Radio London for the penalty, so hopefully we'll have some good news for them. But Lyle Taylor, as you say, has the ball in his hands. Charlton trailing by 2-1. He's slowly walking up to the spot where he's going to place the ball now in front of the travelling Addicts supporters. Lyle Taylor scored 2-2 so far this season. Barnsley 2, Charlton 1. Can Lyle Taylor just wait? It's Barnsley 2, Charnwon. The Addicts have a penalty here, which Lyle Taylor is getting ready to take. So stay with me here. The referee is just waiting to see that everyone is outside the penalty area. Chance for Charnwon to get it back to 2-2 here. Lyle Taylor's already scored twice this season. Can he add a third from the penalty spot? The referee blows the whistle. It's a traditional slow run up from Lyle Taylor. A huge moment here at Oakwell. He gets up to the ball now. He hits it with his right foot and he scored! And Lyle Taylor gets his third goal of the season and bring the Addicts back onto level terms. It's Barnsley 2, Charnwon 2. There's a minute left.
Wow. Immense balls of steel from Lyle Taylor there. Again, that slow run-up, and he sold the keeper the wrong way. And Charlton equalise and sends those travelling fans who have made the trip up north today absolutely wild. And we've deserved it. I think 2-2, if it does stay this way, will be a fair reflection of the game. But you never know. There could be another goal.
Centre of the half. Is this adding a little bit more time? No, he's not. There goes the final whistle. So it's finished here. Barnsley 2, Charlton 2. The Addicts with the late leveller here through Lyle Taylor. Penalty.
That was it then. Barnsley 2, Charlton 2. The highlights from Valley Pass and BBC Radio London. Exciting end to the game. You could see, Lewis, that I had absolutely no idea what happened with the penalty there. when you watch it back on the replay, you can see that Diaby's gone straight. He's gone right through Conor Gallagher like a train, basically. But the ball had already gone on, so you could see how it was easy to not see it. But you keep putting pressure on, like we were doing in that last sort of 10, 15 minutes, and you try and force an error from a side, and that's what we did.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like we looked like we had a couple of chances leading up to that as well. Chuck's missed a one-on-one, which I think Lyle was pretty fuming. He didn't square to him. But, you know, we keep pressing forward, and it's the way we play. It's the bow your way. It's attacking. We don't give up. It's probably a fair result when you look at it sort of on paper. But, again, just balls of steel from Lyle Taylor, isn't it? To be able to do that in the closing stages, it sent me a little bit too over the top yesterday at a family wedding when I was missing the game and I was refreshing my phone every 2 seconds waiting to see if he'd scored it or not, because I knew that he would be doing it.
It'd be perfect timing if the couple walking down the aisle at the same time, yeah. Lyle's walking like, up to the boy, and you're like, go quicker, come on. But I mean, what was it like in the crowd, Ben? So obviously the Barnsley fans were booing. They probably haven't seen it before, but we're sort of used to it now. And I mean, what was the feeling? I mean, you mentioned someone sat next to you sort of put bad thoughts into your mind just as Lyle was walking up to the ball as well.
Yeah, I usually watch the penalty like Lyle takes, but just last minute you're thinking, going home on we had a bus replacement as well.
Yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
You're just thinking that whole journey is going to be so much longer if this doesn't go in. So there was a lot riding on it. But no, I guess we kind of feel a bit confident now because every time he's done it, it's worked. Mm. And I remember going Rochdale away last season and he grabbed the penalty quick when we got the penalty there, put a ball down, and I think that was a dreadful penalty. Yeah. Yeah.
He missed one at home to Plymouth as well last season, I think it was. I remember, yeah, it's strange how ever since he's taken up this new stance, Tom, this new ridiculous run-up. You know, he's a bit of a showman as well, but it just works for him. And he always manages to psych the goalkeeper out and gives the goalkeeper the eyes. You know, he'll look one way, he'll put it the other way, or will he put it the way he's looked? You know, it's mind games, it's everything, but it's flawless so far.
Yeah, you're right there. It is everything. And for most people, I would think the penalty, the nerves would get the better of you and you'd want it over as quickly as possible. So you go for a quick short run-up and get it done. And you look at any of the penalties against Doncaster where the players looked a little bit nervous. That's exactly what they did.
Apart from Lyle again.
Yeah, exactly. Apart from him. And for him, this seems to be his way of keeping his cool and, I guess, as you say, psyching the keeper out. And it works because every time the keeper makes a decision. And if the keeper hasn't made a decision by the time he's got there, and he can just roll it into the corner again. So it's a really strange thing. I know, obviously, Pogba does something slightly similar in the Premier League, but really this is the only time we've really seen it like this. But as you say, it's effective and it's working. And we're a team that got a lot of penalties last year. And if he continues on this way again, then obviously it's going to be, what, 5 or 6 easy goals you'd expect him to get through this season.
Yeah, and the penalty itself, again, so from where I was, I had no idea what happened, Ben. So in the crowd, had you seen the foul? Did you know what happened?
No, I think most of the crowd were quite stunned, actually. They'd given a penalty because you don't normally get penalties for from where we were, it looked like a little nick in the box that Gallagher got from the replay. It was quite a big hit he got, really, from the defender. I think more people, as you said on the commentary, the ball would roll to light and we're like, cut it back, someone shoot. And then, you're like, oh, he's, and the ref was really...
He was right on it, wasn't he?
Straightforward, yeah.
It was a funny performance from the ref yesterday, because early on I was sort of saying, I felt like he was doing quite well and keeping his cards in his pocket, but by the end of it, the cards were coming out like it was Christmas. But yeah, Gallagher won the penalty, of course. He was the scorer of our first goal in that first half. And we will talk about Johnny Williams a lot, I imagine, throughout the show, because he was just spectacular yesterday. But let's talk about Connor first, because obviously he's won that penalty. He's also scored his second goal in as many games. Lewis, you see the goal. Like I say, great work from Williams, but it's still a lot to do for Connor Gallagher, because you think he's a 19-year-old kid playing, getting his first real taste of senior football. He's played in the Checker trade against some League One sides, which doesn't really count as far as I'm concerned, because that's only three or four games. But he's away at a championship ground. It's a hostile ground, Barnes. In a way, right when you're in front of that home end, there's big defenders around you, but he's got the presence of mind and again the confidence to take that touch, bring it down and then rifle it into the bottom corner. That was a really mature finish for a man of his age.
Very mature, and I've been extremely impressed with how Connor's come on since he's been here. Obviously got the goal last week at Stoke, at home to Stoke as well, which was another great finish, you know, when we were chasing to get that two goal cushion. And yesterday, again, to get back into the game, he had to be calm and composed on the ball to slot that home. If another day or somebody else, you could have stuck that in the Rose Ed, couldn't you, really, under pressure. And it just shows that the pedigree that he's had growing up with Chelsea is good. But he's also got that little bit more about him in terms that he's slotted into senior football quite well. Because before this, like you say, he's probably not played a huge amount of senior football. He's been in the 23s. And there is a big difference. You know, we see it from our own 23s when they get played in a cup fixture that sometimes they are completely out-muscled and look a little bit outclassed. He's come in and he's settled in really well. And I think that obviously being a midfielder and learning under Lee Bowyer is the best place for him to learn and develop. And I'm really excited to see how he gets on this season.
We spoke to Connor after the game yesterday, came out for the interview. So again, that'll be on the club website and in our paper tomorrow. But just like Josh Cullen, who obviously is three or four years older, he seems really mature. You don't, when you're hearing you've got some 19-year-old coming from Chelsea, you kind of expect, oh, he goes, going to be some wide boy, some flash kid, but he's not at all. He says all the right things. I did talk about that difference between junior and senior football as well, but again, it seems like the sort of character that we've gone out to, you know, because loan signings, we've talked about over the years, you can get some dodgy ones and some people who don't want to be here. But you've got one here who's hungry to go and prove himself. And despite his age, seems to have his head screwed on at this moment in time.
Yeah, I thought the same of Bielik last year as well. I remember interviewing him after Southend and thought the same about just an experienced head on young shoulders. And yeah, you're right about Cullen as well. We had him in here after Stoke and talked very well. And then obviously went and did the presser there. And it's good to hear that from Gallagher as well. And, you know, I'm not hugely surprised because it's the same recruitment guys, you know, Gallen and Bowyer and Jacko that are getting these players in. And Gallen's so diligent in his work. He's not just looking for the type of player, but he's looking for the type of character. And you marry that with the fact that Bowyer has so far improved three or four midfielders in his short time here. That's going to help from a recruitment perspective, because other clubs are going to want their young players to come here because they're going to see that they can develop here with a view to potentially being first teamers for them, you know, after a year or two. So the whole system is working really well, and it's great to hear that. But you can see it on the pitch. You know, he looks like he's an experienced player. He looks like he's an intelligent player. He's not just rushing into decisions or anything like that. As Lewis said there, you know, he takes a couple of touches before he finishes. He's not rushing into anything. He's a really considered footballer. And again, very early days, but I think there's an exciting player in there for sure.
Now, Ben, I did say we're going to have to talk about Johnny Williams a bit more, because I don't know how it's possible, but it feels like he's come on another level this season for me. I mean, he got his third assist in as many games yesterday with that one for Gallagher, and you know there was space in between the fullbacks, and in the interview we'll hear in behind the fullbacks, and we'll hear from Lee Bowyer saying that he was targeting that. But that was, I mean, you give Johnny Williams space in behind, then you're going to pay for it, because two or three times he got to that byline and he whipped in good crosses. He was so busy for us, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think last season the main criticism of fans when they were trying to pick up a fault of his, it was he wasn't making an assist or he wasn't scoring any. But I think a lot of that was just he was a bit unlucky. He, again, like yesterday, head down, got to the byline, cut it back, great ball, and Gallagher finished it really well. And we look back to prominent performances from him. You just think of the playoff final, he came on and changed the game for us. I guess there, I think I'd say now he's playing in a bit more of an attacking role. If you think back to the playoff final, he was picking up the ball, what, near the halfway line, trying to take defenders on with his pace, cutting inside. So maybe now, I think with the formation we're playing with, without the two strikers, because it seems like Leko's playing on the wing a little bit more, he's given more of an attacking role to show us more of what he can do. Really.
Yes, it was sort of a 4-3-2-1 yesterday, wasn't it, really, with Leko and Williams just behind Taylor, as you were saying. So it does push him further forward. And yeah, he was so impressive yesterday. And I'm so pleased. Again, Bo, I think Bo, you're saying this is the first time we've really seen him fully fit. And I think that's the first 90 minutes he's played for us yesterday. So that says it all. We'll talk about Leko as well, actually, to be fair, because he was, I thought, very lively in the first half an hour or so. Is that fair?
Yeah, first 20 minutes, is, I was saying to a few people that weren't there for the Stoke game, I was like, yeah, he was doing this against Stoke. Suddenly he had two defenders around him and then did a few step-overs and he was gone around the back of him. And yeah, he looked lively at the start, and I don't know, maybe Barnsley doubled up on him and then... And then we didn't see him.
He tired a bit. The second half, he wasn't as good. But he was the man who made that chance, wasn't he, for Josh Cullen. So, yeah, he did look at... Now, we probably ought to mention Barnsley's goals. Now, when it was a bit of a tight game with us having the better chances in that first half, you knew for Barnsley it was going to take something special. Now, when we went there last year, we were 2-0 down after 14 minutes and they scored two brilliant goals. I think Brad Potts got the first from the edge of the box and then Mamadou Thiam... like rifle one in from like 40 yards, it seemed, last year. And you thought they would have used up all their bloody luck against us. But I mean, that goal from Corley Woodrow yesterday, Lewis, that was spectacular. And you have to put your hands up to a goal like that, don't you?
Yeah, it was some strike, wasn't it? And though unfortunate for us, you do have to sort of applaud it, because it was an absolute worldie, wasn't it?
I mean, Dylan had no chance. No chance.
It's in that little corner of the net that no keeper can reach. Wasn't it? It was just pinpoint.
It was a brilliant goal, and then obviously we did have to react to it, but we did. We got that goal back within 6 minutes. Now, the start of the second half, and as Benji had mentioned, you know, we'd started actually pretty brightly in the first 2 minutes or so. We looked lively, but then there are question marks, I guess, Tom, over the defending for the second goal. I mean, Oshalaja and Lockyer just seemed to, I don't know, just getting a bit of a muddle. That Dylan Phillips certainly didn't seem too happy with him.
Yeah, Benji just mentioned off air, perhaps it was just because it was a slightly newer defence with Oshalaja coming in. I think that's a very fair point. But yeah, having seen the highlights back, it wasn't the only time that I thought Purrington was a bit caught out and a bit out of position, from the sound of things as well. People who saw the game as a whole, that's probably one of his worst games in a Charlton shirt, and the fact that it's come this far into his career, you know, we'll let him off that one. But yeah, then Oshalaja in there as well. His positioning was a bit poor and they just kept letting him get away. And you see players at the very top end of the Premier League, people like Eden Hazard, who keep cutting in and getting a shot away. But someone at Championship level, you would hope you'd be able to stop them. But credit to the lad, because he kept his cool again, and it was a decent finish in the end. But you'd hope, you know, we were built on a really solid defence last year, and it just hasn't quite looked as solid this year in that step up. I think Lockyer himself has been very good when he's come in. Pearce has looked okay as well. But I just thought yesterday, from the bits I've seen, they just looked a little bit shaky and a little bit uncertain, and that's something I'm sure they'll be working on in the training ground, just to try and sharpen that up, because if we can start getting clean sheets, it's only going to need one goal instead of two or three to get a result.
Yeah, there is no clean sheet so far, but at the same time we're also the league's highest scorer, so I'm hoping we're going to be that team that this season, that like the Peterborough of League One days, who just score loads and concede a few as well and make it quite entertaining, which will be exciting to see. Also, actually, I want to have a word for Darren Prattley as well, because he was brilliant yesterday, in my opinion. He's the amount of times I had to say in commentary, "Oh, Prattley's cut it out again. Prattley's done the simple stuff here." He just seemed to pop up everywhere for me yesterday, Ben.
Yeah, I like him playing, because I think he's a real leader on the team as well. If you see the ball go out of play, he's the first one to grab the likes of Gallagher and Cullen and have a word with them as well. And I see someone likened him last week to a Vieira character, which seems a bit wild. But as you said, the consistent performances he's putting together. And wow, he's got a big battle to stay there, because you've got the likes of Kyle, you've got Field, there's come with glowing references from West Brom. And who's the other centre mid we've got?
We've got Josh Cullen. There's also
Forster-Caskey, Lapsley, well, Morgan. Yeah. These kind of players that younger legs as well, but he's proven his worth to keep in there. And yeah, as you said yesterday, cut out a lot of play, and he can give the ball so the likes of Cullen and Gallagher can come forward with the ball and we can break. So
yeah, and Chuck Sonique. So when we mentioned him sort of briefly when he earlier, but when he did come on, I felt he again looked lively. Of course, he got his goal last week against Stoke. He was set up by Williams brilliantly in that second half and missed the one on one where perhaps he took too many touches there. But the keeper was sharp to come off his line as well. But again, I thought he gave us something a bit different yesterday, and he just helped the ball stick up top a bit more in those closing stages when we needed it, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've got to look if a game's not going your way. Obviously, we were 2-1 down, bringing on a player. And a lot of people say Championship's such a strong league with the type of player you have. You have a lot of strong players. You need to give it a bit of muscle sometimes. And he actually come on straight away and gave away a couple fouls, which I think the ref was very lenient with them. A couple of their players fell over. So yeah, he put his presence about well, knocked away a few passes to let Williams and Gallagher run off him. So yeah, it was a welcome sub.
Yeah, I was pleased with his performance yesterday. We should also mention, of course, Tom said about Purrington, like I say, it wasn't his day. I think that early miss got into his head. But on the other side, Solly obviously started off as right back. His 300th appearance for the club, and disappointing, actually, he had to go off with a head injury. We'll hear what Bo said about Solly in a minute, because it is reasonably funny. But he will now go into the Bo was saying he thinks the process is about 2 weeks where he's going to have to stay off now. And I remember with Lapo last season, he got kicked in the face against Portsmouth, came back 2 weeks later, and then got kicked in the head against Coventry. So basically missed an entire month just by putting his head where he shouldn't have done. But that's likely to happen now with Solly. So the question is it going to be Oshalaja right back now? Someone who perhaps, well, I don't know, he didn't make too many darts forward yesterday, but at the same time, he was involved with the goal, the move that led to the penalty. So, I mean, do we trust him there at right back, or do we start bringing in someone else, Lewis? Brendan, maybe?
I think I played Deji there.
We've got Mears as well, haven't we, in the training background. Yeah.
And Brendan, as I mean, I wouldn't want to, as well as Brendan played pre-season, I'm not sure you could stick him straight in. I think that Deji can do the job there. He's a player that can play all across the back four, and that's the reason we brought him in the first place, you know. So I think a couple of days training this week to work on it, work on his positioning a little bit more. You've got to train him into that area. I imagine that we're never really banking on somebody picking up an injury, although maybe being Charlton we probably should, because it happens all the time. But I think that a couple of training sessions with Deji at right back, just to get that understanding between him and Lockyer. You know, they're both players that weren't at the club last season, so there is a little bit of gelling to do and a bit of moulding together. But they both look good in their own right. It's just about sort of getting an understanding across that back four and cementing that position.
Right, so don't forget, on this evening's Charlton Live, you can have your say on yesterday's game. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show as well. Plenty of ways to have your say. So let us know what you made of yesterday's performance. Do you think it was a good point? Do you think we should have got three? Do you think there was something we could have improved in? Who stood out for you as the best players? Let us know. We also want to know what you make of the arrival of Aaron Otzuma, who's I'm desperately trying to learn how to spell his name now, because that's a toughie. And I made a mistake earlier, actually. But yeah, let us know what you made of him coming in. Some excitement. Let us know what you make of what Bo is about to say about the non-arrival so far of Tommy Hemed as well, because a follow-up question yesterday. I was baffled by the answer that the EFL was still not speaking to us. I can't understand what's going on there. So let us know what you want to make of anything about any of those subjects, and also looking ahead to the Forest game, if there's any changes you'd like to make in the squad as well. So you're getting involved on this evening's show. Let's have a listen to the interview with Lee Bowyer then. He came to speak to us after the game up at Barnsley yesterday. The Addicts boss felt that his side could have come away with more than just a point up at Oakwell.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like I just said to the players there, like, I'm a bit disappointed with the point. I think first half we had two really good chances to take the lead. Then they obviously scored a great goal with a great strike. can't defend that. And then second half, I thought we was probably the better side. They was hitting us on the break every now and again, but again, like, we had, Chucks went through 1v1 with the keeper. Keeper makes a good save, and then Chucks went through again 1v1, and then the linesman gave a foul, and it wasn't a foul. The fella, there was no contact, but he just fell over. Again, it would have been another 1v1. So I think overall, the neutral would probably say a draw was fair, but I don't know, I'm a bit disappointed, but it's a good point. So, yeah.
I guess it says it all when you come away to a club that haven't lost now in 29 league games at home and you're disappointed with just a 1 point.
Yeah, yeah, it just because of the players, you know. They worked so hard. And we didn't move the ball as well today as what we normally would, but that we did have a game plan, and it was to try and hurt them down the sides and in behind, because their fullbacks are so get forward so much and leave themselves a bit vulnerable, I think, at the back. So that was our game plan, to just try and hurt them on the break down the sides. So
when you get a penalty in the closing stages, most people would normally describe it as a pressure penalty, but I don't think Lyle Taylor's ever felt a bit of pressure in his life the way he struck that.
No, and to be fair, I didn't fancy Lyle to score. It's the first time I've ever, when he's walking up to take a penalty, I didn't fancy him to score, but obviously he does. He's so calm in that situation, and he's the person you'd want to be taking the penalty, so thankfully it went in.
So you talked about a couple of missed chances today, but I guess the pleasing thing is that you are creating those chances. You look at the likes of Johnny Williams, for example, he set up the first goal, he put a couple on a plate this afternoon as well, that your creative players have really hit the fore at the opening stages of this season so far.
Yeah, obviously Jonathan Lecco in the first half, he put some great balls in and caused them problems. Johnny Williams, more so second half, obviously done well, great for the goal. For Connor's goal and second half, Johnny looks so much different to me, fitness wise. Like, he's just lasted 90 minutes. I think that's the first time he's ever played 90 minutes for us. He looks so good. I'm happy. I think Chuck's coming off the bench give us something different as well, and McCauley added a threat as well. So in the end, we had to go for it, and we had the three big men up top, and it paid off for us.
Well, so you look at the start that you've had to life back in the Championship, and you talked about how you're trying to, well, how the players may have been upset perhaps by the bookies tag about favourites to go down, but they're doing their talking on the pitch, and those odds are getting longer and longer now, aren't they?
Yeah, that's down to everybody else to make their decisions and make their predictions. But for me, I've got a group of players in there that's going to give me 100% and give this football club 100% every time they step on the pitch. So I'm not really worried what other people are saying. I know that they're going to give me that, and if they keep doing that and keep performing like again they did today, then I think we'll be okay.
Someone else who's always given 100% on the pitch, of course, Chris Solly, 300th appearance for the club today, hasn't ended the way he was hoping. Was it a head injury? Was that just precautionary?
No, concussion. I think he was out cold before he actually hit the floor. He wasn't making much sense. And then he was trying to walk off and say, "I'll be okay, Bo, I'll be okay." And I'm looking at him thinking, like, you don't even know where I am. We obviously had to take him off.
So he'll go into that process now where he has to have the next game off?
I think it's like a 2-week thing, isn't it? So if I remember what George was going through last year, Souls will be out now for a couple of weeks, I think.
Well, so it's a quick turnaround to the next game coming up against Forest on Wednesday, but for that sort of thing you need bodies in the squad, and you're able to have one yesterday in Aaron Ozuma making his return to the Valley after coming up for the youth ranks there. What can you tell us about him? What sort of player will he be for your squad?
An exciting one, similar to Johnny Williams. Exciting in possession and clever, can finish, can score goals, can create goals. So yeah, he's going to be a very good addition to the squad, you know, because it's a long season. And we've got players, good players, that can hurt teams when we get possession of the ball. And So yeah, looking forward to working with him. He obviously trained a little bit yesterday, but he didn't look too fit. I don't know what he's done pre-season, and when he was at Bolton, I don't know what's been their situation there, but he needs to catch up fitness-wise with us, because as you can tell that we're very, very fit, and so he's definitely going to have to catch up.
And finally from me, obviously there's probably another body you'd like to be able to add as well, Tom Ahmed, once again, still no further update?
Well, we're still quietly confident that's going to happen. Nothing's changed, we're just waiting for a reply from them, so as soon as we do that, then hopefully he can come and start training with us, because we're losing out, the kid's losing out, it's just wrong, you know. So hopefully, again, I'll just say what I said last week, hopefully they come back with the right decision.
Have they not said like anything to you?
Nothing.
At all?
Nothing, but I'm guessing, but there's so much going on with Barry and Bolton at the moment, they must be just purely concentrating on that, because we've not heard a thing back. And with Steve Gannon sent emails, Chris Park sent it, so we ain't heard nothing back now.
Thanks, Lee.
Lee, apart from bashing the bookies, what do you think this squad of yours can realistically achieve this season?
I'm not going to get too far ahead of ourselves. We've only played 3 games. We've got a hell of a lot more games to play, so I'm not going to chuck any position, place that we might finish. I don't think that would be fair. I'll go with what the bookies are saying, and they're saying that we're finished bottom, and then if that's the case, it's down to us to prove everybody wrong. Do I think that we're going to be in the bottom 3? No. So our aim is to stay out of the bottom 3. But if everyone wants to put us in that bottom 3, then that's their choice. I'm not going to...
Lyle got a shed load of goals for you last season to help get you up. I mean, he's got 3 already this season. Is he going to be as big a threat in the Championship as he was in League One?
Well, yeah, he's definitely doing that already, isn't he? So he's got 3 in 3 games. I said again at the start of the season, I think he'll get 20. I think he'll get 20 goals this season. And if he carries on and we carry on the way we're playing and creating chances, he's going to keep scoring goals, because if there's one thing he can do, that's finish. So, but again, we've got a long way to go. He needs a bit of luck, injury-wise. We need some luck. But if that happens, then Lowe will score goals and we will win games.
Have you ever seen a cheekier penalty than that?
Yeah, I've seen him do it many, many, many times. So he's good at it. So hopefully he keeps doing it.
That's his trademark, then, is it?
Yeah, he does that all the time. So I've seen it loads.
With Chris Holly out for a little bit, you've got Deji as a potential right back option. How do you feel about that in terms of going forward in the next couple of games without Chris available?
That's the hand we're going to be dealt. So I'm okay with it. We knew when we brought Deji in that he was versatile and he can play all across the back four. He can play left back, right back, centre half. We knew that. So that's why it wasn't such a rush for us to bring in someone to replace Anthony, because we knew we always had Deji, and that's why we didn't really want to waste a loan on the right back, because it just wasn't worth it. I'd rather have an extra attacking player.
So you wouldn't be looking to add to right back?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, nothing's changed. I'm still trying to bring in a right back. But I'm not going to rush it. We have to bring in the right person. It's going to suit the way we play.
Conor Gallagher scored again. He's making quite a name for himself in this loan spell. What do you make of his performance today?
I think it was... He's learnt a lot today, I would say. Got caught in possession a few times, and I told him that coming here they press you really fast, really, really well. They press you really well, so you have to move the ball quickly in the middle of the park, otherwise they'll take it off you. And he found that out, so he's learned. I also said to him, keep running forward and getting in the box, and their midfielders won't track you. So that's what happened, and then that's how he scored, and then he done it again, and then he got a penalty. So he's pros and cons for him today, but again, worked really hard and give everything, you know. So yeah, a couple of things that was disappointing, but majority was really good and positive.
Last one for me. As I understand it, Aaron is available to start, to play immediately, isn't he? Osthuma is available to play.
Yeah.
So do you think he'll be playing against Forest in midweek, or is it a bit too soon?
No, it's too soon. It's too soon. Like I said, he only came in yesterday, trained yesterday. We didn't really do much yesterday. So it's a case of seeing where he is this week, Monday, Tuesday, and seeing fitness-wise where he's at. So, yeah, I think that's probably going to be too soon Tuesday.
Is it too early to call when he might be involved?
Yeah, because as soon as he's fit enough, then he'll be involved. But, again, at the moment, we're strong in the midfield and in attacking areas. We're strong there, so it is. We don't have to rush him now. At the end of the day, he's part of the squad, and I'll pick the right people just in the right state, if you like, to be in the squad for match days.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers header, and it's done!
Yes!
He's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on!
What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. That was Lee Bowyer, the Addicts manager, speaking to myself and a couple of the other guys up there after the 2-2 draw with Barnsley. Some interesting topics he's covered there. Obviously, I haven't really talked too much about the arrival of Aaron Utzuma just yet, so we'll speak about him shortly. And, of course, the non-arrival of Tommy Hemed still. Let's talk about that first, Ben. So the transfer window closed Thursday a week ago, so... Well, we've 7, 8, 9, 10 days after, and we still don't know what on earth is going on. And according to Bowyer, now to clarify, they literally haven't responded in any way, the EFL. So what the hell? I mean, it's remarkably unfair, isn't it, on us? It seems ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know if they're trying to get us back for some stuff Roland said or we've said as
that's
fans.
What it feels like, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, the guy's in limbo because, I mean, Brighton have had a good start to the season, so it's not as if he'll go back there and get any minutes. So The guy's thinking, am I going to get some game time or not, as the case may be. And it seems like him and Buram Kyle are best friends as well, so he's got
keep following each other around,
don't
they?
Yeah, so
maybe Buram Kyle stepped in and said, he's a freak, keeps following me around. Can you stop him? But it just seems so bizarre that it's costing us a player. And the fact, I mean, I understand, for starters, there are two clubs in much more dire straits than us in the form of Bury and Bolton, and you know, you hope things work out for the best there, particularly at Bury, where it seems very shaky. And you understand that that does require attention from the EFL. But, I mean, we've discussed that we're fairly confident the EFL isn't just one man with one computer. I mean, how have they not even responded to that? I mean, if they're confused about it, fine. But say we're confused about it and we're going to take legal advice because we don't want to make the competition unfair. Surely you have to respond somewhere. We've heard there that Chris Parks and Steve Gannon have both been contacting the organisation and they're getting nothing back. They've been ghosted.
Yeah, I'm not actually that confident that it's more than one person anymore, the EFL, because what's going on at Bury and Bolton is awful and deserves their time, although it's too little too late in my opinion now to be trying to sort that out. They should have been doing that a long time ago. And you can't tell me an organisation of their size running three leagues isn't able to send us a quick email at the very least just to say we're looking into it and we'll have an answer by X date, or just explain what they're doing. Because at the moment it sounds like they're not even investigating at all. I had my say on Thursday. I haven't really got anything more to add. I think they're completely incompetent. And it's a disgrace that a professional football, the second tier of professional football in one of the biggest leagues in the world, cannot organise whether a transfer went through or not. That's all they need to do is either authorise it or don't. The fact that they can't, it is an absolute shambles. Yeah, they're just embarrassing themselves once again. But as I say, I'm not hugely surprised.
Excellent stuff. Well, I mean, let's talk about Aaron then, Otsumo. I know we mentioned him on Thursday, sort of saying, oh, it's interesting, he's been released today. And then it was Friday that he was announced as one of our players. 2 years. Not going to be fit for a couple of weeks by the sounds of it. Match fit, from what we heard there from Lee Bowyer. But, you know, someone... Well, he started his career here, actually, if you remember. But there was, of course... you know, a long summer where he was rumoured to be coming. He did actually have his medical quite early in the summer, by the sounds of it. But there was a lot of legal issues that needed sorting out. They have been sorted out now. And Bowyer said he's gonna be a similar player to Johnny Williams, by the sounds of it, Lewis. So exciting times.
Yeah, really exciting times. And I'm glad, not just for us, but for him as well, that he's managed to get his personal situation sorted out, because it's not easy, as Tom said there. You know, the situation at Bury and Bolton is pretty dire. I think he'd not been paid for 5 or 6 months. So, you know, these are professional footballers, but of course they live the lifestyle to the salary that they earn. So it's probably been really difficult for him over the past sort of 5 or 6 months or so. Coming into a club where he started his career, you know, he was released here as a youngster. Someone that I've actually been really impressed with. I've sort of seen him playing when he played at Peterborough and when he was playing for Walsall against us as well. Really tricky, quick on the ball. Seems to score quite a few worldies as well, doesn't he? Seems to score a lot of goals from outside the box. I think I watched a highlights reel of him, and I think he scored about 5 goals when he dobbed the keeper from like halfway into his own.
And he is. Now we actually have a player who can actually legitimately be sung. He's only 5'3" because he is tiny.
Actually 5'3".
And he still scored a header against us for Walsall. So that shows just how good we were back in those days. Yeah, so right, let's get on to the tweets. I've asked you for your opinions on the game. Also, on the signing of Aaron Otsumo. Plenty of other stuff you can talk about as well. But let's have a look at that. So first of all, Ben is talking about Aaron arriving. Said, could be a great signing and certainly can be a match winner. Interesting to see what happens with Jake Forster-Caskey now. Can't see him making the squad when everyone's fit. Perhaps alone until January would do him good. Build up fitness and confidence again. I mean, we haven't seen much from Jake, obviously. He played in the Cup game. He's had so long out. He could still be loaned to a League 1 or a League 2 team. But, I mean, do you think that's likely? Do you think he's still got a part to play in this squad, Ben?
Well, we obviously brought Field in to battle for like main spot there. And as you said, you got Kyle to come. You'd probably put those players ahead of him now. At the Forest Green game, he didn't really shine out so much. Probably first players you're looking at going on loan would be Albie Morgan. Bowyer's mentioned him a few times. He'd be first guy on loan to gain that experience, and Lapsley as well. So I could see him sticking around because he's got that experience about him as well. But yeah, Otsumo's the kind of player you want coming in off the bench, maybe first few games, and really attacking defenders when they're getting tired. Perfect scenario.
This sounds like another one who can do something out of nothing, which sounds like the excitement that you hope for when you get a newbie coming in. Tony says that he's a brilliant signing, and if we get Tom Ehmed over the line, then Lee Bowyer will have many options with each striker bringing something different to the game. It would be great if Otsumo and Taylor hit it off from the beginning, but he might have to wait for a chance, because Otsumo can play as part of the strike too, but he also can can play as the attacking midfielder. So, yeah, let's see how he gets on. Danny Russell agrees it's a great signing as well. Now, Cliff, on the game yesterday, it was a great point at a hard place to win, and this team will only get better. Williams is now showing what a class act he is, and Pratley again proving what an important player he is for us. Erin Otsuma is a great signing. Looking forward to seeing him play a role on Wednesday. Shinpad, happy with the point, but the passing could have been better. Louis must have spilled his pint on the recording equipment as the audio feed wasn't the best. Yeah, right, let's get to the bottom of this right now. I've got some words to say here. Right, so you will have noticed I was on Valley Pass yesterday. You may remember I'm very much banned from Valley Pass and all that from some unpleasantness that happened some years ago that we don't talk about anymore. It was just a favour. So I work for Radio London now. The club just didn't have a commentator available yesterday for numerous reasons, and it was I was more than happy to step in because the people who were at the club are my mates, the commentators are my mates, and there was a reason they couldn't all be there yesterday. So I was quite happy to BBC London were quite happy to share the feed. Our feed on BBC London was fine, our equipment was fine. There was something wrong with the people that provide the service to the club, who apparently are the same people that provide the service for iFollow as well. So it's likely it would have been the same problem even if the club used iFollow rather than their own service. So we gave them the audio, and apparently I've heard a recording of it, it sounded ridiculous. It sounded like I was underwater or something. It didn't sound right. I know they then reset it at half time, so they then got the clean feed that we were providing them, but then there was still apparently a problem with it not being in sync. So I would like to point out now, stop telling me about it because it's because it's a club problem, and hopefully they'll get to the bottom of it. But there's really very little I can do about that to fix that. So hopefully they will. I hope you did enjoy what you did hear of the commentary, and thanks to Jamie Boxall, who I thought was brilliant alongside me, and he does brilliant vlogs as well. So I knew he was going to be great. So thanks to him for coming alongside us, and hopefully next week it will be sorted when Greg and Terry are back. And if it's not, feel free to abuse them. Right, CFC Ollie says all I've got to say is get your ready. Tickets right now. Yeah, Reading coming up, away at the end of the month, could be a big one in terms of attendance. M says would have taken a point before, so very happy. If we can get four from the next two, I think that would be brilliant. And Johnny Williams, what a guy. Now, right, Pat Springleaf says Lyle's hair suggests he is now looking towards the end of his career and may well be tempted by a fatter contract from, say, Yeovil in January. Sad times. I have to admit, I don't get that, Pat.
No.
I'm not sure. I had to talk about Lyle's hair on air on Valley Pass yesterday. Again, that was a bit weird, but that was because we were sort of doing Radio London at the same time, and someone asked me about the hair. And
was
so, yeah.
Saying it looks a bit grey?
No, I don't know. I'm not getting what Pat's after there, but I think Lyle's got lovely hair. Hopefully, he'll do the pink thing as well in October for Cancer Research UK. Right, Gavin. What do you think, lads? And it's a big if, but if we're in or around the playoffs come January, do you think there's a chance that Roland might take a punt on the promised land and stick his hand in his pocket? Don't laugh. I mean, we had a similarly phrased question last week, Tom, but, you know, we're top two contenders as it stands. We're battling it out with Leeds for the title. So do you think in the bizarre situation that we are continuing, you know, a good run come January, and then the promised land is in sight, does all of a sudden you think, if I spend £5 million here, I could get up into the Premier League?
Oh, it's a massive if.
But it would be very much against his style for the last...
It would be, but at the same time, he's always said, if we're competing, he'll spend.
But then he didn't do it last year.
Yeah, I was about to say,
This
was the first season we were competing and he didn't spend. I imagine if we were in the top two or three places come January, surely the lure of the amount of money he would make from getting to the Premier League, you'd have to think he would, but then he's a bit of a moron, so probably not. He might just not bother. So, I don't know. I don't think it's a question we're going to need to answer, if I'm being brutally honest anyway, but it'd be very interesting to see. But just based on what we've done so far, I'm pretty pleased with the squad anyway. It would be nice to be able to then just add a couple more in January, but whether it'll be that or whether it'll be Lyle Taylor going the other way and all the other loan players going back to their parent clubs, who knows? It's a long way off yet.
We've got a couple of good emails and some good points made on the Charlton Live Forum, which we're going to come to as well. Good question asked by Chiz there, and some funny stuff on the forum, which I'm looking forward to coming to. But we've still got some tweets to mention as well. Jamie said it was a good result yesterday. Gary, a good result for us. Any other day, Barnsley would have taken all three. So that's interesting the way he feels about that, because in terms of clear, for sure we're under pressure at times, but in terms of clear-cut chances, I still can't remember too much. We had the Connor Chaplin one that he missed not long after he scored.
I don't know if it, and then obviously Darren Prattley's own goal attempt, but there wasn't really much more than that, really, was there? So I think we could have nicked that easily.
Yeah, I can't remember Dylan making much saves to make, really. I saw, well, Cullen headed one off the line, but it never looked like it was going in.
Mm.
But other than that, I thought we had the better chances, really.
We could have nicked that. Right, cheers, emails, tweets in. The EFL finally announced their decision on Hemed. However, it was only broadcast on Valley Pass, so no one heard it properly. Very good, very good. Well, if they announce it on Charlton Live, you get it loud and clear, Mark. Sebo, I really feel we are helping to develop a future England international in Conor Gallagher. A future England midfield partnership of Conor Gallagher and Phil Foden will certainly cause opposing countries a few problems. As well, the future's bright, Sebo. Sebo can see it coming. He'll be worming his way to the World Cup final. Vital Charlton, decent result yesterday. I wasn't confident of us grabbing any points at Barnsley, so a point will do. Who needs Pogba when we've got Lyle on the penalties? I love his casual walk up onto the next one. There's a lot of people in the forum who don't love his, who like, because it is the most nervous point, isn't it? Just before a penalty's taken, so you want that. You do want that to be over as soon as done with, as soon as it can be. But yeah, Lyle doesn't. Well, he does mess around there, but it works, so I ain't going to complain. Richard Justin says, in terms of fullback cover, could we get Mears in on a 6-month contract? He says that Sam Peel can play left back as well, which I have to admit, I didn't know that actually, Richard. But yeah, I mean, we are looking at this Tyrone Mears character, but you didn't really add too much about him yet. He's a bit older. He's 36, I think he is. So he's been an experienced campaigner. But if Bowie looks at him and likes the look of him, he may well be tempted to bring him in. Let's see what happens. Right, Matthias was there yesterday. Didn't think Lyle had his best game on Saturday, but he scored his penalty. I do feel his style of taking penalties comes across as cocky. I did get the feeling that Lyle doesn't want to be at Charlton. Johnny Williams was fantastic yesterday. Well, I mean, in his performance yesterday, was there any signs? I mean, Matthias felt he saw something there that suggested that Lyle didn't want. We know, of course, he was, Bayer said he was unhappy that perhaps he didn't get his move to Brentford, but he is still here and he is still scoring goals. So what would you say to that?
I think he's drawn a line under it. As soon as that performance against Stoke, the goal he scored, the link up for the goals, I think he's drawn a line under it all now, and he wants to be here till at least January. And again, we're talking about the position we'll be in. If we're up there fighting, then I'm sure he'd want to stay. If we're managing to be able to give him a better contract, then yeah, overall, I think he was good yesterday. Maybe didn't get as much service as he did for the Stoke game, so he didn't feature as much, but still held it up well, took his penalty brilliantly.
Mm. He was the one who put in that dangerous cross for the Purrington chance in the opening stages as well. So yeah, I felt he did a few bits yesterday. It wasn't his busiest game, but he did have some good moments. Sebo comes back again. Otsuma is even shorter than me. I am 5'4". He made Boya look tall in that photo, like I would, and some of our other signings absolutely tower over Boya. I think I'm slightly taller than Boya. And I'm fairly average height. So, yeah, if Boya's looking big next door to me, he must be absolutely tiny. I mean, I bet Chris Holly's delighted. Absolutely. I know Ollie Groom is delighted to have someone like him around the building. Right, Rag says, great away result. Fully deserved. A point is better than going home with nothing, especially so early in the season. Excited for the games ahead and seeing the team progress. Testament to the management. Two. Yeah, it was an interesting point, actually. Yesterday was exactly 6 years to the day since we last drew 2-2 at Barnsley as well. So if we play at Barnsley on the 17th of August, we're always going to draw 2-2. That's the rules. Right, finally, Albert Rossi. Evening, Albert. Lou, I hope that the parent clubs of the players we have on loan do well, because they will recall the players that we have if they don't. There's always a danger, isn't there, with a loanee, Josh Cullen in particular, I think, because he's coming to the end of his West Ham contract. If they're going to get anything for him, I think they might have to do that in January, unless they're going to extend his contract only to sell him at the end of the year, which seems unlikely. So let's hope it isn't the case. Right, we're going to have another break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we've still got your emails to read. We've still got your forum, a couple of questions on the forum to answer as well. And we'll look ahead to Wednesday evening's game with Nottingham Forest. Lying beside
you. Gallagher keeping in for Charlton. He's under a bit of pressure, flicks it on towards Pierce. Little flick forward towards Williams. He's onside. Williams in a pounce here. Collects. Williams. Skies past Allen. No, Williams. Oh. Can Gallagher get on a retrieving ball? He can, but further wide. Gallagher, ball into Cullen. Cullen has got Prattley behind him. Cullen into the pounce area. Cullen still, ball across goal. Comes Williams. And he can.
Opens his account for the Addicts. It's great work on the left-hand side by Williams.
Welcome back to Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. Don't forget, if you're listening via podcast, or even if you're not, subscribe to our podcast, because that way you can have our show downloaded to your phone or your device twice a week, the Sunday show and the big match preview, which comes out on a Thursday evening, where we look ahead to the next game. So make sure you do so on this Thursday's big match preview. It'll be a good show, of course. We'll be looking back at a game and ahead to another one. We'll have Forest, and then next Saturday it's home to Brentford as well. So we'll be talking about two games then. So make sure you download the Acast app. Is a good one to listen to our podcast on. You can also have the iTunes podcast app. You can also stream all our shows on charltonlive.co.uk as well. So all of those ways, make sure you stay in touch with us as well. Keep us going over the course of the season. Right, I mentioned there's some good stuff on the forum. People wanting to get involved with the show tonight. Some people I think are just being silly, but we will do as many. Jacobs did mention that the stream being a bit out of sync with the commentary, but like I sort of said earlier, hopefully that's something the club or their suppliers will be able to sort out. But he says, other than that, the lads out there battled hard all game. Darren Prattley was solid as ever, sitting in front of the back four and a real underappreciated asset. Roll on Wednesday, it will be a tough night. It certainly will, and we will look ahead to that game in more detail towards the end of this evening's podcast. Mendonca and Asters, good evening, guys. Great to get a point. A result is an improvement on last season. Pleased that this one is out of the way early doors rather than in the depths of winter. Yeah, you had trouble. You couldn't get there last year. Was it last year you were supposed to be going and your train got cancelled and that was it?
Yeah, it was very similar with the bus replacement. I think we had to get a train to Peterborough first, and then that got cancelled because of some delay.
That's not a journey you want to be making in the dead of winter. But Mendonca and Asters carries on. Certainly not tired of hearing "We've done it" tell you. reckon you'd shift a few t-shirts with that printed on the front. I might do that. Might start selling a few. Really pleased we've signed Otzuma. Here's hoping that we have some good news with Tommy Hemed this week. Roland Forest on Wednesday evening. It should be a storming game. Come on, you Reds. Right, Kiwi Valley. This is one where I suggest they may be being a little bit silly. Hi guys, I don't have anything interesting to say. I just want to be part of the show. Actually, I did see a cat fall off a fence once. That was quite interesting. The cat fell onto its feet. Cats can do that unless they have no legs, but then you would have to wonder how a cat with no legs would have gotten onto the fence in the first place. Something to ponder. Anyone, any answers to that, Tom?
No,
nor have I. Right, Kiwi Valley, thanks for getting involved though. You've got your name on the show there. We'll have a think about that. Right, cheers. This is one that I thought was interesting. So I haven't heard this interview, but Bose was on Five Live. Was it Thursday or Friday during the week? And so Chiz's message is this. Lee Bowyer has, without question, been absolutely brilliant in the weeks since the playoff win. He has not put a foot wrong. But there was one thing that I was slightly disappointed about, which was a BBC interview this week in which he was asked about how we will feel going back to Leeds. He said he was looking forward to a result that would see Leeds promoted and Charlton retain their place in the Championship. Of course, we're playing Leeds on the final day of the season. Chiz says, shouldn't his public ambition be far higher than this? I don't suggest that he should be claiming that winning the league is the target this season, but shouldn't he be displaying more confidence and make it clear we have an ambition to push on as opposed to hoping we scrape avoiding relegation in the last game of the season? What's your view on that, Lewis? Because obviously he has talked about the low budget and he has said, you know, first things first is to stay in the division. We spoke to Josh Cullen last week and he said the same thing. Are we getting carried away with a good start? Should we, as a club, be thinking, no, actually, we can push on a bit further? Or is the main aim staying up this season still?
I think we've just got to keep our heads a little bit. I mean, the start has been incredible, and you can't take that away from them. And I'm just going to enjoy it as it goes. I've always said from the start of the season, I would bite the hand off of anyone that said, you'll come 21st this year and you'll stay in the division, because of the hurdles and the obstacles that we come up against every single summer. I saw there was a similar interview with Bowyer and Sky Sports before the Blackburn game where he said a similar thing, actually, about going to Elland Road on the last day of the season. If the results saw Leeds promoted and us safe, then he'd be happy. And at that time, I think all of our expectations at that point were, if we stay in this division, it's going to be a miracle, because we were really, you know, we were completely under-resourced and we were lacking playing staff. We've had that positive start now. We've brought in new recruits over deadline day. We've brought in Aaron Ozturma and potentially Tom Ahmed to come. So people, naturally, their expectations are going to creep up a little bit with the positive start. So maybe that is sort of a recycled response from Bowyer from that Sky interview, and it's maybe dated a little bit as people's expectations have risen. But I don't think it's an unrealistic thing to say. I think if we stay in this division, that is the achievement. I mean, the sky is the limit, but let's not get too carried away, because I think the reason we're doing so well at the moment is that the pressure is completely off and we are surprising teams and people are writing us off. Now we're looking better, people are going to start thinking, oh, actually, Charlton are a difficult side to go against.
That's what I was going to say, Tom. Is this season a free hit for us? Is anything above staying up, because the expectations have been so low, it will be acceptable with it? I mean, if we do get to Christmas and we're 10th or 12th and we're 5 points off the playoffs, all of a sudden will our expectations change?
I think they probably will. I think that would be natural for expectations to change. But I think realistically, then when we come to May, I think, like Lewis, if we're 21st or up, I think everyone will accept that as a good season. You've got to look at the constraints that Bowyer's got. You've got to look at the fact that apparently Roland is still looking to sell, despite the fact he's telling people not to buy Championship clubs. So you've got to think, given what we're working with, anything in terms of surviving is a positive. Of course, if we're in 10th in the middle of the season and finish 16th, people are going to be a little disappointed and we'd have to go on some run in the back end of the season to obviously drop down that way. But if we stay up, that's a huge achievement. And if we can just start to stabilise ourselves as a Championship club, which I think we all admit is probably where we deserve to be and where we should be, I don't think that's so bad for a few years. We've had so much turmoil over the last few years in terms of going up and down. I'd take a few years finishing in the middle of the Championship just for a bit. Hopefully, eventually, the sale will go through and then maybe we can start to build with someone with a bit more ambition.
Yeah. I mean, if football still exists when the sale goes through, then maybe we will go for the Premier League. I mean, Rag tweets in talking about those Bowyer comments and he would be silly if he didn't play down our chances, which, yeah, a fair point. Fun Bluff responding to Cheers on just says that Leeds are poo-poo. Another one potentially being silly. But then Red Henry again poses a good question here, Ben. Lockyer getting a bit of stick from some. I think he's been a solid player for us so far. What have you made of Tom Lockyer, the summer signing from Bristol Rovers?
Yeah, I liked him. I thought against Stoke, he's one of those defenders, I think, he likes to let the attacker know he's there. So you see a lot of shirt pulling off the ball, a little push here and there. And yeah, I think him and Pierce, it's going to take him a while to get a little partnership going, but you've got to remember it's a jump from League One to the Championship, and especially it's a whole new back four. You got Pierce didn't play a lot last season, did he? He had Naby Sarr and Bauer there at centre back, so it's combining that partnership between him and Pierce. Now Solly's out, so Oshalaja's there, Parrington, Phillips, they've got to get a what works for them. And now Oshalaja's in for Wednesday. So, but yeah, what I've seen of him, I think I like him, yeah.
Yeah, interesting point. I think Nathan picked up on that as well at the start, I think in pre-season and then the Blackburn game, about he felt that people had noticed Tom Lockyer. And then when he played quite well at Blackburn, Nathan was delighted. He was really pleased with the way that Tom played up there. Doug Austin says, Middlesbrough fans don't seem to be impressed with Dick still. What a waste of money. I saw there was a couple of tweets going around. It's way too early for any side to be judging. I don't know how Middlesbrough got on yesterday as well. So
Dick still gave away a penalty.
Oh, did he?
Which is why they were so annoyed.
Yeah, so there you go. So it's obviously not an ideal start for Anthony, but I'm sure he'll be fine up there. PH says, there's always room for a short bloke with regards to Aaron Otsuma. He can creep through the centre-half's legs for a diving header. See, you don't think about these things, do you? When you're taking a mick. Ray's getting involved. Evening, Ray. I hope you're well. Sadly, I believe that Lyle is likely to leave in January. The form of the owner says he will offer him a below-average contract, which he will obviously refuse. He can then say Taylor refused to re-sign for us, and then he will sell for whatever he can get. Well, yeah, that is always a danger, if we're being honest. We hope it doesn't come to that, but like you say, that's always a possibility, isn't it? Right, we've got a couple of emails. Elizabeth Green, evening to you, Elizabeth. Glad we travelled up to the game yesterday. The boys really tried and we had patches of really good play. However, I do fear we shouldn't get too excited about climbing up the league, as we don't really seem to have the depth of players for this division. It's great that the boys are doing so well. It's all about Bowyer's good management and choices of players, plus the great team spirit. If the bloody owner sold or gave us just some of the money he received, we could be brilliant. What about after January, when Taylor will surely leave? Love the commentary on the show as always. That's from Liz. Yeah, cheers for email, Liz. So Liz saying not to get carried away, Lewis, is that, I mean, is it's hard to keep your head screwed on. And you did, one of you, I think it was you, mentioned about the start we had where we did, you know, we beat QPR and Hull in the first couple of home games, had a good couple of results and got relegated that season. So we're three games in. Have we jumped the gun a little bit on booking that open top bus? Because it's in the car park right now.
Maybe a little bit on the open top bus, yeah. I don't think it's a crime to have your expectations high, because we came into the season with such a low expectation and now we're flying. It's very easy to get carried away. I think that just enjoy it. Don't set an expectation. Just go, you know, come to the games, enjoy yourself. We know we might be here. Like Tom said, if we can stabilise the club as a championship football club, we're going to be watching a lot better quality football. And it gives us a chance to build, and hopefully, if and when a sale goes through, if we're still alive when it does, it'll be another sort of a leapfrog point for the club, because that's probably the only thing that's holding us back at the moment, because you see the quality of players that Bayer and Gallen can bring in with the budget that they're given, and then you just think what they'd be able to do if they were given the right resources like the other clubs get. You know, Reading started really poorly over the last couple of weeks, and then they got given a load of money to buy a striker from Inter Milan. So it showed the lure of the championship's there. So it can play in our favour, and of course the lure of playing under Boya as well. So I think that we've got a really good foundation here to progress as a football club. If we can get the sale through, then maybe we can start looking at our expectations a little bit more seriously. I think for now, just enjoy it and sort of ride the positivity wave.
Yeah, Bert Palmer's mentioning that he's not liking the fact that Lee Boya only has a 1-year contract. It needs extending, or someone will come in for him. I mean, we know the situation with Lee Boya. We know the situation with the club is we don't dish out long contracts. I was shocked that Aaron was on a 2-year contract, if I'm being honest. But, you know, hopefully we're still just waiting for this takeover so we can come in and secure a manager and get a proper bit of consistency with the club. But it's just a bizarre situation, isn't it? Dan tweets in, Roland spending in January. You lot have been on that oldie cider again. We will be lucky to hold on to Lyle. It was a great point yesterday. Williams was outstanding, and Wednesday will be tough. Yeah, it certainly will. Still haven't had any of that oldie cider, Dan.
Me either.
Yeah, someone needs to send some of it in, because we've been promised that for a few weeks now. Have you ever tried any cider from Aldi?
No, I can't say.
No, all right, okay. Yeah, some guys did on the way back from Blackburn, and apparently you can fly pretty high on Aldi cider. So we're still waiting for
see if they'll sponsor the show.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that sponsorship money to come through. Someone email them as soon as possible. Right, Ben emails in. Hi, guys. Really looking forward to tonight's show. I'm on my way to Heathrow as I head for Kyrgyzstan. So hopefully that can help me for at least the first part of my journey. Well, I hope you enjoy your trip out there. Just a quick question for you guys in the studio to discuss. If the proposed Hemed move collapses, obviously we will be a striker light. Do you think Boya will stick with the current formation, or do you think Enike could form a partnership with Taylor? I personally think they're similar-ish players, so can't see that being a great long-term solution. I feel that Enike would do so much better occupying the number 10 role in behind Lyle. So, well, let's have your thoughts on that, Tom, first of all. So if Hemed doesn't come through, yeah, we don't really have, you know, Macaulay Bond. He looked all right yesterday. We haven't really mentioned him, actually. He looked reasonably lively when he came on, but he's still very raw for this level. And Enike, I think, looks the part. But, you know, we will be able to play the two of them alongside each other, Enike and Taylor.
I don't think he's going to do that largely, no. I think he'll probably stick to the formation he's been using as it stands. I can see Enike playing a bigger and bigger part as he gets fit, for sure. But I'm not sure he's going to be playing the two up top at the moment. Obviously, he'll continue to do what he has done and look at each opposition. And if he thinks that two up front will work, then I do think it probably would be Enike playing alongside Taylor. But on the whole, I think it's going to be Taylor up top on his own and then trying to utilise those attacking midfielders. As you said at the start of the show, we're the highest scorers in the league. So I know we can't rely on Lyle, but he's got 3 and 3. And on top of that, we've got goals from all over this. You know, Gallagher's already got 2. Enike himself has got 1. Perrington's got on the score sheet. It's only a matter of time for me until Johnny Williams gets 1. So this midfield has got a lot of goals in it. So I'm not hugely concerned. I think obviously an injury to Taylor is going to be a huge issue. And all you've got to do is hope that if this Hemed transfer doesn't come through, then we do something in January. because that'll be the other opportunity we have, obviously, to strengthen.
Dan tweets in, if we get promoted, I'll buy you a crate of Aldi cider. There we go. That's what I'm talking
what
about.
What a deal.
The only problem is there, though, I probably won't survive the summer in order to enjoy our return to the Premier League. So, yeah, cheers, Dan. I mean, yeah, I didn't really mention McCauley Bond, did we, since when he came on yesterday? Sort of last 10, 15 he came on, I think, didn't he? What did you make of his performance?
Yeah, I thought he'd done well. I said a game Tuesday and I wasn't really impressed with him there. But to be fair, on Tuesday, he was just up top on his own. Whereas yesterday, he came on kind of left wing role. Mm. And he did really well to spread the play. We looked, and when Prattley come off and Bond come on, you kind of thought, all right, Boya's going for it here. And he looked lively and we definitely looked good with him on. And I think he was a little bit unlucky. He chested it down, got through, and a defender just stuck out a boot as he was going through to set up Lyle, I think it was. But yeah, I was impressed with him yesterday, definitely. And let's not forget, he scored a lot of goals last season, so he's got it there. And maybe just one goal he can get, maybe a little tap in here and there, can give him a confidence boost to crack on, and he might be the answer to fill in a gap if Hemed doesn't sign. So you just don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, he said himself in that interview at the start of the season that he knows he's not really quite ready for Championship football. But, you know, there's no League Cup games now. We're knocked out of that. So the only time he's going to get any proper game time is coming off the bench in the Championship, like we saw on Saturday. That was his competitive league debut for us. If he can have little cameos here and there, that might just pick him up to speed a little bit more.
Yeah, he's just got to come on and grasp the opportunity because we've signed him for a reason. He impressed under Justin Edinburgh at Leighton Orient last season, scored a hatful of goals there. We've picked him up. You know, Boya's got this incredible reputation of improving players and making players better. And there's no reason why McCauley can't do the same thing. He is still young and it is a big jump for him. And I think he's probably done the right thing in setting his expectations down a little bit, because you don't want him to come in and be in the firing line. If we hadn't have brought in new recruits over deadline day and he was maybe forced to play more than he'd like to and he was disappointing and fans are getting on his back, I think he's set his stall at the right level and set a bar, and it just gives him something to aim for and improve on. And I'd like him to do well here. He seems like a really, really nice, genuine chap as well. And there's no reason why, like Benji says there, he can't do the business if he grasps his opportunity properly.
Right, we're coming up to the last 10 minutes of the show. We're going to have a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start looking ahead to Wednesday evening's home game with Nottingham Forest. You can still get involved because I want to know if there's any changes you'd make to the side. Are there any players you'd like to see come in for the home game with Forest, if there's any formation change or anything like that? So let us know. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum and let us know which players you'd like to see feature on Wednesday evening. Back in 30 seconds.
Bennett tries a little 1-2 with Stuart Downing, but Ben Purrington's away. Stuart Downing's on his towel. He's not really got anyone apart from Taylor really up with him. He has to come back inside to Jake Forsikowski, who has loads of space in the centre of the pitch. Johnny Williams with the overlap. Can he play outside? He can with Anthony. Can he go on the overlap either? He dinks it to the far post. Ben Purrington!
Yes!
Ben Purrington scores his first league goal for Charlton. And what a counter-attack from Charlton. And Ben Purrington scores at Wembley for the equaliser. And scored for Charlton for the first goal in the Championship.
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. We were just chatting off air about who sings Mullagh Kintyre better out of us and Forest, because it's the Mullagh Kintyre derby, as Benji was pointing out on Wednesday. I think our version's better.
100%.
Yeah, because
he just needs to sing it slower.
Yeah, exactly. They're rubbish. So it's another tough game. Forest on Wednesday. I remember when we last came up to the Championship for the under, you know, we won League One under Powley, and then came into the Championship. Forest just were the first team to really, like, maybe think, blimey, this lot are quite good compared to what we've been used to. They really moved the ball quite quickly around us in the early stages of the first season back in the Championship. Now, obviously, they're still there. They've had a couple of difficult years, actually, if we're being fair. Martin O'Neill left quite near to the start of the season as well. So a bit of turmoil there in terms of managerial changes. They got off to an average start. I mean, they've had a very difficult start, to be fair to them. They were beaten at home by West Brom on the opening day. You know, it's a team that's been in the Premier League in the last couple of years. They drew 1-1 at Leeds, which is not a bad result by any stretch of the imagination. And then a comfortable 3-0 win against a Birmingham side yesterday. Of course, Birmingham themselves not off to the best of starts. So it's going to be a tough one, Tom. I was sort of thinking, like, maybe if you look at the quality of the opposition we played so far this season, maybe if Forest have had a decent summer of the transfer market, maybe this could be the first real test of a side that could be expected to finish slightly higher than the likes of Blackburn.
Yeah, I think I would say this is our toughest game of the season so far. You know, Blackburn had only been up here a season or so before us. Stoke haven't really impressed so far under Nathan Jones. Barnsley away is a tough game, no mistake about that. Their home record's very good and we've come out of that with a draw. But for me, Forest, as you say there, losing to West Brom is no disgrace. A good point against Leeds and then handily beating Birmingham. So it's going to be a very tough game. But Lewis said it off air earlier, we fancy ourselves at home. You know, we haven't lost at home for a long, long, long time. And the way we play at home, even you see against Stoke, where we had to be a little bit more defensive just at the start of the game, but worked our way into it, you'd fancy us. And we know we've got goals in the team. It'll just be whether we can tighten up at the back. I was just talking off air about whether maybe we go to a back three. But I think it's definitely going to be a challenge and we'll learn a lot about the side. But I don't think it's a game that we should fear necessarily. I think there's every chance we could get certainly a point and maybe all three.
It's one of those sides that you look at the sort of firepower they've got, the likes of Lewis Grab and Albert Adoma's in there. You know, they've got some big name championship experienced players in there. And of course, they've got Carl Jenkinson, who's signed from Arsenal this summer. That's an interesting one to see him back in the championship. I've got to say, what sort of reception will he get? But I always forget that he played for us, even though we got a fair bit of money for him, considering, well, not that much, but we got an amount of money from him from a big team at the time. He was He wasn't here that long, really, was he?
No, I remember when my Arsenal mate was like, oh, what's this Jenkinson like? I thought, he's only played about 7 or 8 games for us, didn't he?
He never really stood out, did he?
No, so it was really random. That it was a dream for him because he was an Arsenal fan as well. And he went on loan to Birmingham before, didn't he? And never did anything there. But when he was at West Ham, I thought he looked all right. But yeah, he was on the bench yesterday, so I can't imagine he'd start after they won.
I've been saving him for the big one.
Maybe.
The Mulligan tired, though.
Yeah.
I can't see fans really remembering him too much to give him a bad reception. Or
But like I say, they went and got that decent point on the road at Leeds, so maybe they are a tough nut to crack away from home. And let's talk about ourselves then. So I'm trying to think what the major decisions are going to be. So obviously, Solly out, so we're thinking probably Oshilaja. You think that's probably going to be the way he goes?
Yeah, I imagine it'll just be a straight swap. Dejia going there for Chris Solly.
So that's one thing. I mean, is there any other major changes you'd make? I guess the main question is, does Anike start? So we've seen him coming off the bench and looking good, but at the same time, we've seen Lecco starting games well and fading out. So could you turn it around? Could you get a longer spell from Anike and Lecco coming on as an impact player for the final 20 minutes. That's a decision to be made, really, because, like I say, Chucks has looked superb off the bench and Lecco running at even fresh legs has looked quite good so far. So, difficult one.
I think my thinking would be that we want to hit them with pace early on and try and play on the counter because, as I say, I do think they're going to see a lot of the ball. Similar to how we did in the early parts of Stoke, you know, Lecco in that first half was on the ball so many times, picking it up on the halfway line and just running at the back four. So my thinking would be that you keep him and Williams in and try and do that early on. The other alternative is that you have someone like Anike up there for hold-up play and then last 20 minutes when their defence tires, you throw the pace on and do it that way round. I can see arguments for both. For me, it would be starting Lecco still and introducing Anike late on if we need a goal. But it may be that he goes the other way and thinks, do you know what, I'm going to keep that pace in reserve and try and hit him late in the game, particularly because it's coming on a, you know, after a weekend game, so they haven't had as much time to recover. So, again, we've said it a few times this season, the great thing is we've actually got options this year. There's so much talent in that midfield now, and it's so exciting that we've got a few options.
A couple of tweets come in with their suggestions. Dan said I'd go with two up top, Chucks and Lyle, go back to the diamond, because we did change to the diamond, didn't we, in the final, 20 minutes against Stoke, and that's when we went on to win that game. So maybe Lee Bowyer would be tempted to start with that. And I like this from Shinpad. I'd sign Aldous Sidison on a free. I heard he causes defences to fall over. So there we go. There's one suggestion. A draw, would that... I mean, if we get a draw at home against Forest, that would probably still be seen as a good start to the season, I'd say, Ben.
Yeah, definitely. We'd still be unbeaten and, making a valley a fortress, I think. If we can keep doing that and being unbeaten at home, you look at managers always say if you've got a good home record, then it's a massive foundation for the rest of your season. And, the only thing I could see... maybe Williams not playing Wednesday, just because 3 games in 7 days, as you said, I think it's the first 90 minutes he's played well in maybe years. I don't know. Just don't know if he's got it in him for 3 lots of...
That is an interesting one. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, and that is a good point because, but at the same time, by you saying his fitness is getting better, so maybe if they start to force him and overloading him with those minutes, maybe that would help his fitness in the long run. It's an interesting point. Like I say, if he didn't come in, I mean, who would you have? You've got... Well, Aaron's not ready yet, I guess. I'm not sure who else you'd pick, so that'd be an interesting one to see. Right, we are actually coming to the end of the show on Charlton Live. It's flown by this evening. A good point up at Barnsley yesterday. Let's hope we can go on and get all three against Nottingham Forest here on Wednesday. We're going to have to turn a lot of audio around on Wednesday night to make sure we've got a show ready for Thursday. But on Thursday evening, we should have the highlights of the game against Forest. We'll have a little bit of reaction from the manager and maybe a player as well. And then, of course, we will turn around and start looking at next Saturday's home game with Brentford. So make sure you join us on Thursday for the big match preview. Thank you for listening this evening. Don't forget to subscribe in the Acast app or in the iTunes podcast app. Anywhere you can get the podcast, hit that subscribe button. Get the show downloaded directly to your phone twice a week without you having to do anything. Right, thank you to Lewis for coming in this evening.
You're welcome, mate. Cheers.
Thank you to Tom Wallin.
Cheers, lads.
And Benji Cloak. It's been an excellent debut. We look forward to having you again.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Looking forward to getting my first cap.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, you get us an hour. It's a bottle of Aldi cider, actually. Right, so good evening. So thanks for listening to the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back here on Thursday night. My name is Louis Mendes. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.